Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for your presence. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Jesus, make me a child again in your presence. Amen. Clay, that was a banger, dude. Oh, I was thinking about it the past 5 minutes. I was like, man, I don't think I knew how to worship the Lord for like my entire life until recently. I just thought it was singing songs. But it's like you just throw yourself into the arms of the Lord and he loves you. And then you just let yourself respond to him in worship. He's a person to respond to. The Lord is a person to respond to. And worship isn't just like a part of a service. And if you don't enjoy singing, I don't think you'll like heaven very much. It's like all worship. And it's not that I do enjoy singing. But like, I don't know I don't think I ever worshiped the Lord until recently. And like the prayer room, I just want to give honor to Clay. Like the prayer room has changed our lives. And what he and we are cultivating here of intentional time to actually respond to a person literally has changed our lives. Liz and I have been talking about just the impact the prayer room has had on our lives and our marriage and literally everything. And the past few weeks, we had a team from Contend here a couple weeks ago. They were praying with us, and they just were crying out to the Lord, Lord, send your Davids. Send your Davids. And for some reason, every day since they've been here, at least one time every day, the Lord like pops into my head. He's like, hey, ask me for Davids. So at least one time for like 2 weeks, every single day, the Lord's like reminding me of this prayer, like send your Davids. And meditating on that recently, I think what the Lord's doing in this house is he's pouring out a spirit of David, and we're entering into a new season of a Davidic anointing. And I'll explain that a little bit. But the spirit of David's being released in this house with a priority placed on the ark. Our lives must revolve around the ark and go even beyond that. When I say ark, I'm talking about the presence of God. And so 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. 2 Samuel 6, verses 16 through 23. I just want to talk about David a little bit tonight. And there's going to be an invitation. But three things the Lord highlighted to me when I was praying into like the Davidic anointing and what does that even mean? It sounds fancy. It's just what the Lord's doing, I think, in this hour, in this house. Three things that the Davidic anointing entails. It's a core conviction of the ark. It's establishing a resting place for God, and it's undignified worship. So I'm going to read 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. And this is as the ark of the Lord. It says, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. And David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself even more undignified than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. But by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. There's a lot going on in this chapter. But three things that David had that I think come with what the Lord is pouring out here. The conviction of the ark, establishing a resting place, and undignified worship. What do I mean by conviction of the ark? David had a core conviction that the presence of God must be centralized. Every part of society, life, relationships must find their foundation in the presence of God. That's why he wanted to bring the ark to the center of the city so everything could revolve around the presence of God. God is raising up a people who prioritize the ark, the presence. David cared deeply about establishing a resting place for the Lord. David had a core conviction that through ministry to the Lord, God dwells in the midst of his people. Does the Lord need a house to dwell in? No. But during David's reign, he looks up, he's in this palace, and he's like, man, it's not right that I live in this beautiful palace and the Lord is in a tent. Let me build him a resting place to dwell in. It's this deep conviction that David had that I want to please the Lord's heart above every other mandate that I've ever released. And in the New Testament, good news is we're each individually resting places for God, and corporately when we come together, we look like the full body of Jesus. The Lord doesn't need anything built for him, but it's the spirit in which David longed to satisfy the Lord that God is releasing in this hour. We long for the Lord. And he builds himself a dwelling place using us. Ephesians 2:22, the Lord is building a dwelling place. Undignified worship. Trey, your son was very prophetic today. Just running around, just naked and unashamed before the Lord. I'm not encouraging anyone else to do that, but it's a great, because I don't want to see that, but it was beautiful, it was prophetic. Real quick, does anybody know what dignity is? Dignity is defined as the state or quality of being worthy or honor of respect. It's used in 2 Samuel 6:22 when David says, you know, she's Michael's lecturing him. You uncovered yourself among the people. How dare you? He said, oh, I'll be even more undignified than this. That word is a fascinating word. It means trifling, accursed, contempt, despised, insignificant, light, like as in light, you're made light, moved to and fro and shaking. Has anyone worshiped like that before? Or you look like you're accursed, insignificant, trifling, moved to and fro and shaking. Is our worship to the Lord described as such? You know, dignity is birthed when you view yourself above the Lord. Dignity is birthed when you view yourself above the Lord. It means you think you're worthy of honor. It means you think that you're worthy of respect. Dignity is pride disguised by a religious spirit that's more concerned with presentation than it is worship. I find dignity in a lot of leadership. Dignity is pride disguised by a religious spirit that's more concerned with presentation than it is worship. And the fascinating thing to me, I was thinking through this today, fascinating thing to me, your presentation, your talent, your lack of talent, your relevance, how you look, how people perceive you, what people think of you, win zero people to the Lord. In fact, what does win people to the Lord? Oneness with him. among a few things, there's a small list of things that actually the world looks at and they equate knowing Jesus with. That small list includes, well, the only things that bring people to Jesus are the Lord himself, the gospel preached, our oneness with him and our love for one another. Dignity is not in there. If we think of our presentation, how people perceive us, having dignity is attractive to the world. If we think that having dignity is attractive to the world, this is truly a pathetic attempt to draw the world to Jesus because we think that we have more power than the Lord to do so. If we have dignity because of fear of what people think of us, how people perceive us. Some people have dignity because the fear of man or the opinion of man rules their lives. They're after affirmation and what looks good to the world. If we have dignity because of fear, we care too much about people's view towards us. Usually we want to be presentable. Again, remember that dignity is thinking we're worthy of honor and respect. We're ultimately afraid that our relationship with Jesus isn't attractive to the world, and we need to make it look how we think it should look so that people want what we have. Who are we kidding? Does anyone want a stale marriage? I don't know of anyone that wants a stale marriage. Do people want a long-distance relationship? People want a thanks. Do people want a fake relationship? Why are we trying to present our relationship with Jesus packaged in dignity, which is really just pride? It's really you think of yourself way too highly. People want the real. People want to be in love with the Lord because his love casts out all fear and fulfills all desire that we have for any type of approval that we could ever need. Being undignified, the opposite of dignity, being undignified before the Lord's mean that you place him in his proper position and respond accordingly. The Lord doesn't just want us undignified in worship, but he wants us to have an undignified life where we respond to his presence daily. Yes, worship is song, but worship is also life. It's living in response to the one that has the seat of honor and worthiness in your heart. Dignity is a sign that the Lord does not sit on the throne of your heart. Undignified worship is not just worship, it's the response to the person of Jesus. I would argue that true worship is how you respond to the Lord every day. And as I look through Scripture at ways to respond to God, I'm not sure I do too many of them. Dance is obviously one. Adoration, thanksgiving, shouting, tears, repentance, obedience. This is all undignified worship that happens when you place the Lord on the throne of your hearts and you give him the seat of honor and worthiness in your life. In the life of David, I took note of a couple phases I noticed today when I was reading through the life of David. The first phase is that David desires to make God the center of everything by bringing in the ark. So David had this conviction that we have to put the presence of God in the center of everything. And then I see David go beyond that. It's not enough to have God in the center of everything. David wanted to build him a house and offer continual worship to the Lord. And as we've been doing this for a little bit, and I would say we desired God to be in the center of our lives, our city, our families. Like specifically, the Lord told us inside 465, and we desired to be an example of the Lord in the center of everything in our city, in our marriages, our families, everything like that. But now I find myself desiring more as I'm with the Lord. I don't know if any of you else experience that. You taste and see and you eat and drink of the Lord and all of a sudden you become more hungry, more thirsty. It's like not enough to have the Lord as the center of everything. I have to have more of the Lord. I don't know if you can relate to that. I want everything. And God, it's saying, God, I want to worship you. I want everything poured out for you. I want everything unto you, from you, for you, to you. This is ministering to the Lord. It's not enough to recognize his presence. It's the response. I would say that desiring his presence is the first sign of a Davidic anointing. But responding to the Lord. Responding to the Lord. Responding to the Lord. It's not enough to have the presence of God. Because the presence of God, I believe, is... How do I say this? It's like the Lord shows up over and over and over again, and no one recognizes the Lord in the room. No one responds to the Lord in the room. And I think that hurts the heart of God. To show up in a place of people crying out for his presence, but there's no response when he walks in the room. How do you respond to the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the King of Kings, the one who shed his blood for you and spilt his blood, shed his body for you? How do you respond to him when he walks in the room? Because I think it hurts the heart of the Lord when there are constant cries for his presence, but there's no response to the person who brings the presence. You guys with me? I feel like the Lord wants this house to be marked with the opposite of dignity. He's building a dwelling place for himself through us, and he's asking that we respond to him. Carice talked to me before tonight. It's Adam's wife. If you don't know her, she's incredible. But she was talking to me about the Davidic anointing, and she's like, you literally don't do anything, and everyone can receive it. All you have to do is this. You just step into it. And she's like, you want to know how you step into it? And I was like, tell me. She's like, you be a child. And the Lord said, who does the kingdom belong to? Children. That's why he says we have to be born again. You're born again into something. And as you, like, if you look at King David, a slayer of giants and lions and a victor in battle, as you look at King David becoming undignified by the Lord, that's his response to the presence being centralized in his city. He's undignified. He responds to the Lord. It's the opposite of dignity. He sheds his clothes and he dances like a freaking weirdo. There's a response to the Lord. And if you're lacking in response to the Lord, it's because you've placed yourself in a seat of honor and worthiness in your life. And so, childlikeness. Be a child again. Children run around, they're innocent, they don't make sense a lot of times, and they just reach up and they cry, Daddy. And that's what the Lord is asking of us. There's an invitation to childlikeness. Repent of dignity. It's not going to win anyone to the Lord. It's not even going to help you. You're going to have a stale marriage with the Lord. It's going to get boring. The honeymoon phase is going to wear out. Repent of dignity and take yourself off of the seat of honor and respect in your life. Place the Lord there. If you are convicted of having dignity and how you present yourself to the world or even other or family or other churches or church members or friends, if you're convicted of that, all you do is, Lord, I'm so sorry. And then you step into childlikeness and being undignified before the Lord. And you say, I want to respond to you, Lord. So I want to have another time of worship. Are you guys good with that? Okay. If you're not, I'm not sorry. The Lord, the Lord's worth 24/7 worship and prayer. David spent $30 million a month to employ worshipers to worship the Lord nonstop. That's how much his heart burned to satisfy the heart of the Lord. He took the ark and placed it in the dead center of the city, and he said, "All of society is going to revolve around the person of the Lord. It's going to revolve around the presence of the Lord, and it's not enough to recognize the presence. I have to respond." And so, if you're convicted, fall on your face and repent. That's a sign of responding to the Lord. Repent. Repent, repent, repent. If you've tried to maintain some type of image through self-righteousness, those are like dirty rags to the Lord. Repent. Repent. Lay it at the Lord's feet. Just say, Lord, I want your presence, but I want to respond to you even more. I have to know you. I have to throw myself at your feet like a child would on at his father's feet. I have to know you. You guys been born again? All of you? If you haven't, get born again. You're not going to be a child if you're not born again. Get born again. Repent. Obey the Lord. He's a really good father. He's a really good leader. He's a really good teacher. He's a really good healer. He's a really good counselor. You are not any of those things. Take yourself off of the seat of honor and respect in your life. Place the Lord there. Repent. Respond to the Lord. I encourage you. I'm just now stepping into worship, and I'll be 32. I'm 31 right now. 32 tomorrow. I'll be 31. But I've been in church my whole life, and I don't think I knew what worship was. It's not enough to recognize the presence. You have to respond. You have to respond. You have to respond to God. I don't care. No one's going to look at you. Who cares? There's no dignity. There's nothing. There's no dignity in heaven. You're not going to enjoy dignity in heaven. You're going to enjoy the Lord. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you that you would convict our hearts to respond to you, God. You would draw us in. You would draw us in. We repent of having any sense of dignity in our lives. We repent of any sort of performance or perception that we've displayed for ourselves, Lord. We thank you for the invitation to be a child again and just to step into loving you. It's so freeing to love the Lord. It's so freeing to love the Lord. I don't need anything from anyone. We don't need anything from anyone when we have the Lord. We've been born again. We've been born again. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. We've been born again. Jesus, you're so good. You're so good to me. You're so good to me. Thank you for freeing me. Thank you for freeing me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood shed for me and poured out for me. Thank you, Lord, that when you walk in the room, I can feel your presence. When you walk in the room, there's nothing more beautiful than you, Jesus. There's nothing more beautiful than you. There's nothing better than your presence. There's nothing better than to sit at the table of the Lord in the presence of my enemies and enjoy the Lord with a smile on my face. You are so good to me. You are so good to me, and you freed me from accusation. You freed me from addiction. You freed me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're worth it all. You're worthy of my affection. You're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my thanks. You're worthy of all my days. Thank you, Lord.